you are, sweetheart.
ESPN. 97.5. KFNC. Mont Bellevue, Houston. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? On a Monday with the sun shining. That's right, I said the sun is shining. A new day has come, and all is well in the world. You know who is playing in the Super Bowl in your backyard. Are you happy with it? It will be the Atlanta Falcons representing the National Football Conference against the New England Patriots representing the American Football Conference. Without further ado, I bring in my co-host for the afternoon, the man who made 99 famous in H-Town before there was a JJ. There's a Trap J, Travis Johnson to my left. Through the glass, I witness one plaid shirt wearing Nick Sharara. As quick Nick is in the building, that means as long as it's the three-way three-play, we can be here all day, or at least until 4 p.m. Your Milwaukee Bucks are at home tonight, taking on the Houston Rockets, in case that matters to you. We'll get to that at some point during the show. But the thing that everybody has been talking about all day that I would assume that most people want to continue to talk about is that of the conference championships and the fact that neither game lived up to the billing and was anywhere near close to some of the games of the week before. I think they got it right, Travis. I think they got the two best teams in the NFL the way they're playing right now. So from that standpoint alone, I think that it's a good matchup. The one thing that I'll say, and I'm not sure, I was thinking about this on the way over here. I'm not sure that this is going to be a popular way of thinking, but it did cross my mind and I wanted to get your opinion on it. And that is, whenever there's a Super Bowl or a Final Four here, it seems like the people of Houston get gypped to some degree. Not that Butler wasn't a big story, right? But the Final Four, you were like, Duke, no, I mean.
But how are you gypped, though? Because Matt Ryan's here and not Aaron Rodgers?
No, not just that. I mean, you were gypped because you wanted the all-out functified Steelers-Falcons matchup.
Yeah, of course.
Right. A lot of people do feel like the sexiest matchup would have been, and I tweeted some things this morning about from a ratings perspective, that Rodgers-Brady would have been huge.
It would have been huge just for ticket sales.
I think that it's just because of the fact that you get a team like Atlanta that, as good as they are, and if it's possible, have been under the radar to a lot of people, at least casual football fans, for most of the year. So they're here. The reason why I say that is, like I said, when the Final Four was here and you ended up with Butler and you ended up a lot of upset teams, but when I looked at three of the four teams in the Final Four, I went, man, for Houston, you'd really like to see the powerhouses. Or Carolina, New England that year with Jake Delhomme. And you're like, okay. But, I mean, it was okay.
I mean, but Carolina was still, they were doing what they were, at the time, they were hot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, it's Jake Delhomme.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Matt Ryan, you can't, I don't feel gypped at all.
No, I mean, you got the MVP.
You got the guy who,
MVP, I mean, you got Julio Jones.
The MVP. I mean, you got Julio Jones. You got Devontae Freeman, Chris Coleman. You got the NFL sack leader and Victor Beasley. You got, you got a team that.
I'm just saying, for the casual fan, they're like, meh. But that's only because they're not following it close enough. Because if you follow it to any degree, what you just said makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no question. Especially in my humble opinion, don't be surprised if Atlanta go out here and stomp a mud hole in New England.
Oh, I would not be surprised. You because know, watching that offense up close and personal all day yesterday, you realize there's weapons all over the field.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And Julio's supposed to be hurt. Didn't look hurt to me.
No, and Kyle Shanahan knows how to call a game. I mean, he was versatile in his play calling, wasn't afraid to open it up. Guys were just butt naked wide open, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Packers secondary was just awful, and they're down to they're on fumes in terms of guys they were throwing out there. But overall, look, Matt Ryan played another flawless game for the most part, right? Moved the ball around, and like you said, with a two-headed monster in the backfield too that can catch it as well as they run it.
And the crazy part is this last game, they didn't use both of them.
Right.
I mean, for the most part.
Coleman didn't get a lot of touches.
No, not until the fourth quarter.
Right.
And, I mean, I don't feel gypped at all about the Super Bowl. Okay. I mean, I think the only thing you could have asked for is for Pittsburgh, if they would have put up a better fight I think they could also put together a great game. Mm-hmm. I think because Pittsburgh decided the defense didn't show up. I think the defense kind of checked out. I think the defense kind of checked out once. The offense didn't score on that 1 yard line. I think that was a backbreaker because at the time you the score would have been what, 17-13. Yeah. It came back in from it went to halftime, came back from halftime with the ball and with a chance to go up. I think that right there kind of checked them out. And you know it's funny because one of my homeboys was just saying, you know, yesterday at 39 years old, Tom Brady was head and shoulders the best player on the field. And
How ironic is it, too, that two receivers in two different games had the exact same stats?
Oh, no question. And then how ironic is it that Tom Brady continues to take these no-name white receivers
off the street receivers and make them superstars.
And make them superstars. I mean, my homeboy brought it up earlier, was like, dude, you got these, he said, Tom Brady, he said he turns nobody into somebody. He said, man, he got, in his exact words, he said, man, the man got three Caucasian receivers that couldn't start at any school in the Power Five right now.
Isn't that crazy?
And they right now are killing people.
Yeah. No question. But you know what? And the other thing was, and Belichick does his whole spiel, but Brady was just overly, not just giddy, but he seemed like he was going to stick to company line and thank my family and not, I didn't hear him say anything, you know, wanting Roger Goodell or anything like that. Come on, man. This is exactly the script that we all knew that was very, very possible to play out from his suspension, and he's getting it. I mean, for Goodell to skip that game in New England, don't tell me it wasn't intentional.
Oh, no, very intentional.
But you know Goodell is the biggest Falcons fan on the planet for the next 2 weeks, because if he's got to turn that trophy over, I think that's when one of the two, because Kraft was bombed. Let's be honest. Yeah. When Kraft got that AFC championship trophy, he couldn't even finish his speech.
Yeah.
He has a tendency to get liquored up in his suite.
Yeah.
And he was a little bit happy when he was accepting the trophy. But one of those two is going to have something to say if Goodell hands him the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Out of all the things that he did to attempt to get these guys not to get to where they're going to go to,
mm-hmm.
he couldn't do it. You got to think about where this team has come from.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? This team
and
has
as
come
a player
from,
to miss the first 4 weeks and be considered for MVP.
For MVP is
it's crazy.
It's crazy. And to be honest, I wouldn't have considered him for MVP on a simple fact is, when we put in the rules after Sean Merriman had the PED issues,
mm-hmm.
and your only way how you suspended him was, you know, basically for contract detrimental to the league, and basically you're saying it gave you upper hand. So I would think the deflated balls that you say that you could never find technically would have fallen under PEDs, performance enhancers. Correct?
I don't know about that.
I'm not saying like actually PEDs, but performance enhancers are. If you deflated the ball, if this is what you're saying, then that improved your performance. So technically, the deflated ball would be a performance enhancer. I mean, it's not a
drug. I see where you're going.
You see what I'm saying? But that's what you suspended him under. So that's why it was hard for me to even see when they had him up for the award. Like, okay, so what did he get suspended for? You see what I'm saying?
He got suspended for abuse of a cell phone. All right, so we got plenty to talk about, right? And here's the other thing. Before we go any further, because we're going to tell you how to reach us and how to contact us throughout the show, which we always do, because people that know tell others that it's not just a show that you listen to. You are participants, and we love when you participate in our show. But before we do anything, go any further, we want to give shout-outs to our man who's part of our team and part of our family for getting the job as the new receivers coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Keenan McCardell, my brother from another mother, Travis, Nick, and my very dear friend. We knew he was out last week. We knew he was interviewing, and we couldn't say anything. He wouldn't even tell us where, and then we found out, thanks to Travis's sly internet skills, and we found out not only did he interview, but they wouldn't let him get out of Dodge without a contract. So shout-out to my man K-Mac. He's going to make those three receivers in Jacksonville better, and because you're in the division, we'll see you twice a year, which is great. So Keenan McCardell, new wide receivers coach, Jacksonville Jaguars, where he returns home, so to speak, where he was phenomenal with Jimmy Smith. You want to reach us during the show? We're here from 1 to 4 every single day. You can reach us on Twitter at PacManJoel with a K, at NoHitNick, at TrapJ99. And also, 713-780-ESPN will get you in via text or via phone calls. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Travis Johnson, Nick Sciarra here till 4, and always making sure that you are a part of the conversation. We've got plenty to get to, including something that Travis was talking about in that AFC Championship game, something that Nick and I talked about leading into the show. I'm not sure that anybody paid enough attention to a little episode that happened within that game that made me scratch my temple based on the fact of the explanations that we got both in the booth and on the field, and the fact that I can't believe more people don't think that it had a part or could have had a part. And I'm not saying changing the final outcome, but the competitive outcome of that game. So before we get to that, though, we got some calls that want to get in here. Corey, you're first. Do you want to talk a little bit about bye week? Is that rust, I take it, even though we have bad spelling from our interns?
Yeah, no, you you started off the show by saying this past Sunday didn't live up to the billing.
And right.
I completely agree with you. I think we got robbed this past Sunday. And I don't think the best teams, per se, were in the divisional round. I think it comes down to the bye week. But if you look at the Patriots versus Texans, the Patriots were sluggish in the first half, and the Texans kept pace. Mm-hmm. And then just got blown out in the second half.
But the Texans also got good football.
By Green Bay, and came back to lose just by a last-minute field goal. Atlanta, who with Matt Ryan is hot as Hades after a Mardi Gras weekend, got shut out in the first quarter, then heated up and scored 36 and three quarters against the self-proclaimed Legion of Boom. The Chiefs never really got started and only scored 16 and allowed six drives that ended in field goals. Six drives that they marched down the field and kicked a field goal. The teams that lost got off to horrible starts and lost because of it. And the Patriots and Falcons, who did win, they had similar slow starts. So here's my question.
Mm-hmm.
Does the bye week have a significant impact on the teams coming into the divisional round? And is that why the billing was not lived up to? And furthermore, would it have impacted the resulting two teams playing in the Super Bowl this year? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Corey. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Look, we could go divisional round game by game and have arguments on the other side of each of the things that you brought to the table. Now, I will say this. We talked about this leading into that game, but we thought it was an advantage for veteran teams that had been there before because they rest up, they get healthy, their bodies recoup a little, have a little bit more time to recoup. But we did even say on this show that a team like Dallas, led by two rookies that had never been there and done that before, that might have a different impact because now for almost 3 weeks, they've been basically taking it easy and sitting around, and then all of a sudden it's go time, and it's not just go, but the pedals to the metal,
yeah.
And it might have a different effect. So, I mean, I'll start by saying that, and Travis, I'll throw to you.
Well, I mean, I don't think bye week really affects good teams. I think, like you said, I think vets enjoy it from the simple fact is, you know, they get that rest. I think it hurts teams like that are hot or streaking. Like, I remember I want to say 2009 when I was in San Diego, we were 13-3, and we had the first round bye, and we go to divisional round and against the Jets, and just didn't look the same. And that really was just because we needed the work to stay consistent. And then we got the week off, and all of a sudden, I don't know if it made some guys sluggish or what, but everybody didn't play the same after that bye week. But normally, veteran teams don't need it. I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're a better team, it's going to show regardless.
I mean, look, for the examples that he gave, and we covered some of it.
The Texans have one of the better defenses in all. He had the best defense in
best
the league.
Defense, right.
So, like, that has to have something to do with it.
Well, so that's what's supposed to happen then when you start talking about what happened in the first half. If you have the number one defense in football, you're supposed to be able to slow down New England.
Exactly.
At least early on until they can start making adjustments and figure out, oh, this is what they're bringing to us. These are the new schemes. These are the new wrinkles. And then how do you combat that? A lot of times that doesn't happen until halftime. Coincidentally or not, the game was a different story in the second half when those adjustments were made. Yes or no?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and you know, you can say all you want about Kansas City, but Kansas City is exactly who we thought they were. They're a defensive-laden team, much like the Texans. So when you say every one of their drives ended up in field goals, that's not unusual when you look at Kansas City because Smith's not going to blow the roof off of any joint or throw for three bills.
No.
Macklin isn't even close to what he was in Philly. Everybody knows, and they were going to capitalize on Travis Kelce. So that's why it was a slugfest. Oh, by the way, the weather played into that one, too.
It sure did.
So, I mean, look, you can go back and forth. And not to say that I don't, to some degree, agree that, look, you're going, you, there's a, like you said, call it sluggish, call it rusty, whatever you want to call it. But having that time off can definitely, definitely catch up to you.
Oh, no question.
Early on in one of those games.
Early on in the game. But it's also the difference in speed. Like, they, I mean, when you look at playoff football is a whole lot faster than regular season football.
Yeah.
It's a whole – the intensity's hyped up, everything. So that, a lot of times, is the jitters you see when you see quarterbacks overthrowing guys. You see them underthrowing guys. And a lot of that sometimes jitters, and it takes until the second half to get that out of you and say, you know what, relax. Let me relax and let me get it done.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Roland just texted me.
Yep.
And said, hey, man, tell Joel don't cry. He said, now he knows how I feel when Aaron Rodgers carved up my G-man.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, and everybody, and I appreciate the sympathy and sarcasm that I received yesterday. But as I told everybody, and I think you knew this because we were talking on the phone before the game.
Yeah.
That I said, look, no one's giving them a chance. Obviously, I want it to be a game, but I was realistic, and I told you, the back half of that defense and their secondary, look, smoke, mirrors, and everything that they were able to do, what they were able to do for weeks on end and win all those games in a row, I didn't even expect that. So I'm on top of the world that they got to be one of the final four teams in the NFL. And there's no doubt, I'm proud every single day that 12 gets under center for the Packers because he's proven himself too. And I thought it was funny that a lot of people try to take shots at him and put the blame on him. He moved the ball. They just didn't make field goals. They didn't get, you know, that, not that it would have been a different game, it would have been a much closer game had Rick Ripkowski not fumbled and had they made the field goal early. At least the first half would have been more competitive. But you ran into a buzzsaw and you just ran out of juice. So it is what it is. I'm fine. If that would have been a close game and we lost like the Cowboys lost the week before, or your G-men, but your G-men were pummeled after the Hail Mary. But you had us in the first quarter, Roland. But the bottom line is, look, I'm happy with the season that they had. And I walk away saying there's only one team happy at the end of the year because they ended up with a W when everybody ends up with an L. So to be in the Final Four, it's great. Was I disappointed they didn't come here to Houston? Absolutely. But look, you know, you hope, and what I'm hearing now is they're finally going to take note of the fact that Rodgers doesn't have a lifetime at quarterback, and it's going to be this offseason that they try and load up the D to make sure it's equal to the O.
Load up the D. Yeah, they need to. I think...
You have experience loading up the D, Travis?
No, okay. Not at all. All right. But I just laugh because, you know, the little child in me wanted to laugh at something so vulgar and so simple.
At least you didn't tee-hee it.
But, you know what? My question is, do they get better personnel on that side of the ball? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, are they going to let Dom go? I don't see them letting Dom go.
See, a lot of people, again, want to come down on Capers. I give them more credit than I do criticism for the simple fact, like we were talking about with Rack here in Houston. Smoke, mirrors, and everything, tape, glue, and MacGyver skills put together that defense for most of the year when you had all those injuries. And again, just like they won it in 2010 with the same amount of injuries, at some point you got to step back and go, look, we've got to have contingency plans because this should not be happening.
It shouldn't happen.
Right? No, and you and I talked about it during the year. Go out and get a Cromartie to help your secondary.
Go out and get something.
Right.
You know, you look at that game and they had no answers.
Nothing. And the pads that these young kids were given, Julio and Sanu, were just 10 yards at a time.
Yeah, because they knew both of them could run past them.
Yeah, and like they even said on the broadcast, when Julio runs a 4-3 and the D-back covering him runs a 4-7, let me tell you something.
That's a problem.
Those 4-10ths are a huge problem, especially when you're talking about the size and the hands of Julio Jones. So hopefully they get smarter. I mean, even we laughed about it, but Peanut Tillman, who's a outstanding corner for years, said, hey, Green Bay, you need help. I want a ring. I'm here to help you. They thought it was a joke.
No, he sent
it right to Aaron Rodgers and said, I'll step in out of the broadcast booth right now.
And leave.
And try and give you some help. So, you know, it was out there. But, hey, we got plenty to talk about. Nathaniel, we see you. Different topic. We'll try to get to that as well as much more. So if you want to join the show, 713-780-ESPN. Text us or call us or hit us up on Twitter as we are here till 4 o'clock and constantly checking all of our personal devices, including the Big D. That's why we are in H-Town, and we are 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Travis and Nick till 4 o'clock as we continue to roll through. By the way, the Pittsburgh Steelers, believe it or not, which people aren't giving enough credit to either, won 9 straight games after starting the season 4-5. So all was not lost in Pittsburgh. The Packers ended up winning 8 straight after a 4-6 start. So even though both those teams were on the short end yesterday in a big way, they do have to hang their head high because of the fact that they turned around what could have been a disastrous end for both seasons and no playoff appearance. I wanted to ask you, Travis, early on in the show, just because it crossed my mind as I was watching the game. That fumble that Brady had going for that first down.
That was a
game changer in my mind.
Not only was it a game changer, there was two parts that were game changers. There was the fact that they got down to the 1 yard line and couldn't score.
Yeah, after they had originally ruled it a touchdown. Hurt them too, right?
That hurt them. I think that took a lot of fight out of the defense as well.
Yes,
because defense was expecting to get some points from them
and make it a one score
and
game.
Make it a one score game. I think on that fumble, it was clear that he fumbled, and before they went to the review, they clearly said
thank you.
They clearly said that it was a clear cut recovery by Pittsburgh. So then when they go to the review, at first I'm like, okay, maybe they're probably not going to get a good angle. They won't be able to see it. But then you saw the angle where his elbow wasn't touching
yet. You go to commercial, and the angle they show you, it was looks like you can't overturn it.
Yeah, you can't overturn it.
But to your point, and I won't get it verbatim, but the referee essentially said, Pittsburgh is challenging the ruling on the field that there was a fumble, and the Steelers recovered it. Yes. So there was a clear understanding by the officiating crew. Pittsburgh ended up at the bottom of the pile with that ball. The replay then showed that as well. I went to break thinking, it's a big play, man. But if that's the only video they have, they can't overturn it. When they came back and showed the other video and you could see it popping out, and then the fact that they had verbalized that Pittsburgh...
Because everybody said when they uncovered the pile,
don't
the Pittsburgh guys on the bottom of the pile. And not just that, Tom Brady knew he fumbled because he was sitting on the sideline.
Not only that, but then when he figured out that they were going to get the ball, he ran the quickest play in America.
He tried to go quick.
Yep.
And when they stopped the play. Yep. And that further let, my thing is like, I try to figure out where these refs' antennas, you know what I mean? When stuff is like this going on, they ought to know Tom Brady's not going hurry up right now in this situation just because.
And then to throw salt in the wound, the first play out of the box is like 32 yards.
Is it 32 yards?
And it's like you talk about a backbreaker after a backbreaker for the Steelers. That one to me was a head scratcher.
And it should have been. And that to me was the biggest issue of that officiating to go an entire half without throwing a flag, which I think they should have threw a few of them early. For them to go an entire half without throwing a flag and then screw up some of those calls, I think takes away from a somewhat clean game. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. I was doing some things in the kitchen and watching it in the living room and kept looking at that screen going, well, Pittsburgh's just going to punch it in even though it'll just take one more play. And then all of a sudden I saw them catch him in the backfield and I said, oh, God. Then I'm starting in the back of my mind going, now what if they don't get this and what a backbreaker it is and what a demoralizing thing for your defense?
And they should have known. And my thing is, when I saw the Patriots line up and realized they had him outnumbered on the side, you knew he was going to come screaming off of there. That's why I said, why don't you fake the dive and get the pitch, the little opposite side pitch.
Yeah, or even what Rodgers runs a lot, which is the hard sell on the handoff, yeah, and everybody bites, and you just skip to the side for a touchdown.
And it wouldn't even just been that. You could also, your quarterback is 6'6", 270 pounds.
Play stops as soon as that ball crosses the goal line. Extend it, and then don't worry about it.
You know, and I hate when you own the half-yard line, and you go back to the 5 to hand off
the ball. I give Brady credit because he does that a lot, as opposed to the Texans, who are always worried someone was going to get hurt, and that whole debacle in the last game of the regular season with the whole Brock got hurt, or Savage got hurt and shouldn't have done it, and blah, blah, blah. Look, he's your quarterback. It's 1 yard.
That's my quarterback.
Okay, that too. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's like, I just thought about, and you're right, the other play was the ruling it on down on the one. But those two plays, again, not to say that New England still wasn't moving the football and such, but that changed the entire complexion of the game, especially from a Pittsburgh defensive standpoint, because it was demoralizing.
No question. I mean, that because They were in their minds. You've got to remember, when you got sudden change like that, it's hard to overcome that sudden change, especially when you think, we're off the field, we're off the field, let me get some Gatorade, let me get some water. And all of a sudden it's, man, well, now we're not off the field. Like, now you got to change your whole mindset, because now you're sitting there like, man, I got to be mentally tough that I'm not allowing this to affect me when I know I feel like we just been cheated.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's funny, too. I looked at it, and I'm like, why shouldn't there be further explanation on that because of the way the officials verbalized what was going on? If they could have come back and said, hey, there wasn't a clear understanding of who came up with the football at the bottom of the pile. But before you even go to break and get under the hood,
Pittsburgh,
the Steelers recovered the fumble. You know, so that to me was a head scratcher. So something to definitely talk about if you want to talk about that. The other thing that was also funny, and I asked you about it on Sunday morning, was Patriots fan pleads not guilty to fire alarm charges because the Steelers hotel fire alarm was pulled in the middle of the night.
But it happens.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious, unless you're the Steelers.
But it happens every year.
But Travis was the first to tell me yesterday morning that it's not common. It happens to any visiting team normally when they go into New England.
Oh, really? Yeah. I had no idea.
They do it all the time.
Wow.
They do that. When you go to Dallas, you know, Dallas is another one where they'll mess around and have fireworks in the middle of the night, or the alarm gets pulled. They do the same thing.
Had no idea. It's kind of a tradition.
Yeah, it's a couple places, but, you know, some places they take it serious. But it's been a couple times where they've literally had, like, escorted us out, like, fire alarm's going off. We got to go outside.
Okay, so here you go. The Boston man, described by his lawyer as a diehard Patriots fan, pleaded not guilty to pulling a fire alarm that roused the Steelers from their beds ahead of the playoff game against the Patriots. Dennis Harrison was released on personal recognizance at his arraignment Monday on charges including disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace. He's 25 years old from East Boston, pulled the alarm at the Logan Airport Hilton at 3:40 in the morning. Authorities quickly determined it was a false alarm, not quick enough because anytime you're waking up out of a sound sleep, you know it's a problem. But prosecutors say he told police he was drunk and did something, quote, stupid on a dare. He was arrested near the hotel. According to state police, arrest report filed in court Monday. He and friends found out the location of the Steelers hotel on Twitter. And what stands out in the police report is the allegation of alcohol use. There are also allegations that there were some statements made by this gentleman. And the question that becomes pretty obvious, was he in any condition to make statements? That will all be sorted out in a court of law, but what isn't going to be sorted out is the fact that whether or not it affected the Steelers in any way, the bottom line is they lost the game. And Travis says it's not the first time, won't be the last time. So it happens, right?
Yeah, it happens.
You know, you hear from the Green Bay perspective, too, and I don't know how many people know this. Again, not that it would change the outcome of the game, but the Packers were scheduled to leave Green Bay at 2 o'clock on Saturday. Due to fog in Green Bay, they were not allowed to get out of Green Bay, and eventually it was determined they weren't going to get out of Green Bay. They had to drive 2 hours south to Milwaukee, then get on a plane, then fly to Atlanta, and by the time they landed, they were about 4 hours behind schedule and everything that they were trying to do.
They were going to be sluggish regardless.
Yeah, look, like I said, they were out of gas.
Because not just that, nobody wants to.
The good thing, though, is they categorize it as, now we know why we got to win more games during the regular season and get the games, the home field advantage, and get games at our place.
Yeah, because that is their biggest advantage, is their
Correct.
Games there.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when you look at the fact that even the sluggishness is not, I mean, they were going to be that. Once you had to ride a bus for 2 hours.
Oh, it's terrible.
You know, like, football player, our hips are bad.
And
knees
Clay Matthews
are bad.
Said that. He's like, you know what, for the average person, bus rides aren't pretty. But when you're talking about 2 and 3 deep on a bus, when you're your guys' size and injuries,
they're not gonna be two, three deep. You know, everybody got
two deep.
Everybody got their own seat for the most part. Even only people you put seats in is you give one of the
PR guys,
or a rookie with a you know, maybe with a equipment guy. You know what I mean? Otherwise, nobody's 2, 3 deep. Everybody always got their own seats.
Okay.
Offensive bus, defensive bus. And then you got another bus. You know what I mean? Okay. So everybody.
But still, not something that you want to go through when you're going through preparations for the biggest game of the year. And it happens. But, you know, like you and I were talking about it on Saturday, and the first thing out of our mouths was, well, that's on their planning crew, their travel crew. Every team has, you know, from when I was with the Rockets, there was a travel coordinator, the equipment manager, Keith Jones, the trainer and VP of basketball. They were all involved in, and they were always thinking ahead to think of what's in the city when we're there. You know, they go to Oakland and they know that the World Series is going to be in town. Then they got a plan for that. Or Cleveland, same thing, because they had to play there.
Yeah.
But they're taking that into consideration. Someone in their front office has to have a little bit on them, take ownership of that
No question.
All right, so let's see. We got plenty of calls lining up. You want to go? Which one do you want to go? Let's go to Walter, who's been holding the longest. Walter's got a take on the Tom Brady fumble. What's up, Walter?
Hey, what's up, Joel? What's up, Trap?
What's up, man? What's on your mind?
I was watching the game yesterday. Jim Nance was just like y'all were talking about, wondering why the referee said what he said before the break, and they came back from the fumble, and he was just complaining his head off about the day, stating that there was a clear recovery. He came back later in the broadcast and said he found out he misinterpreted what they said. Basically, what the referee was saying is that Pittsburgh was challenging that there was a fumble and a clear recovery. The referees were not the ones saying there was a clear recovery. Pittsburgh was saying that we got the ball with a clear recovery.
Okay, but here's the thing, came out of the ref's mouth didn't that wasn't what was said,
and,
was it?
And not just that though, but it was definitely a clear recovery because Tom Brady was sitting on top of the defensive lineman that actually recovered it.
Had the ball.
And they pulled him off and the referee and he handed the referee the ball.
And I think, too, Walter, and we appreciate the call, man. We're up against it on a break. But if you want to hang or you want to call back, I should say, then if you got more, let us know. But the thing, too, that I noticed was it was in a discussion in which they were praising the officials across the board for games over the past week in the NFL that Nance tried. I thought he was almost trying to cover for this crew by trying to go back and change and regurgitate it a different way what had already transpired. That may be just me. I don't know, but we'll find out. Kevin, I see you next. We'll bring you in from Cyprus as we continue to roll on. It's Travis, Joel, and Nick till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel, Trapp, and Nick till 4 as we keep on rolling till we hit the door. That means you're going to be a part of the show. Great calls so far and participatory takes from you, the listener. And with that, we get right into a admitted Patriots fans take on Thomas J. Brady. Kevin, welcome to the show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I appreciate you taking my call. And I just wanted to say a couple of quick things, and then I'll get off and listen to you guys. But real first, about the fumble, like honestly, if you look at the replay, Tom Brady's left arm looks like it hits the ground before that ball ever comes out.
It's about an inch from the ground.
Regardless of who actually recovers the ball, mm-hmm. I don't even think it really matters. Now, that being said, right, I really believe that you guys are just looking for other reasons to take away from the Patriots, to be honest.
First of all, Kev, like slow down. Like Kev, slow down, because I said right away that it wouldn't have affected the end of the game per se. I just had questions about that play.
What?
I said right off the top when we started talking about this, I'm not saying it would have changed the outcome of the game at all. I just had questions about that play. And half of it was how it was presented by the CBS crew.
And not just that, Kevin. It was clear as day when they showed that next angle that his elbow was at least almost an inch off the ground. His elbow hadn't hit the ground yet when the ball hit the ground. You could see it clear. The ball hit before his elbow hit.
Yeah, but it's actually the forearm that needs to
That's
hit.
What I'm saying. His forearm didn't hit.
Sit it down. On top of that, the other thing I wanted to say real quick about the Patriots, right? You know, they get a lot of negative press, I think, but look at what they've done with that team as far as who they've traded away. In the offseason, they trade away Chandler Jones, who everybody looked at and was like, what? Oh, my God. Why would they do that? They get a guy back who they cut in the middle of the season because he can't perform either. In the middle of the season, they trade their – quote unquote best, most athletic Collins. Defensive player. And what happens? The defense gets better and they end up being the number one defense in the league as far as points given up. And they're still, honestly, I feel like they're given no respect from anybody. Everybody just kind of like talks about the
who
fact
does,
that,
who does, who does, man, know, what, hey, what part of Boston, you from Southie? Where you, what part of Boston are you from?
I grew up in Stoughton, Massachusetts.
Okay, I'm about to say
Kev, let me ask you a question. Have you been listening to the whole show? Because the first thing that I said was when we were talking about Brady, no one should be – it's unheard of to think of a guy that misses 4 weeks of the season, especially the first 4 weeks, and is in the MVP discussions. And we talked about not just Brady, but as a unit and what Belichick does. And the biggest thing is – Roger Goodell's the biggest Falcons fan on the planet because he does not want to present that trophy to those two guys. And as classy as they were yesterday, and let's admit it, your owner was liquored up. But believe you me, if they get that trophy here in 2 weeks and he presents it to them, one of them's going to say something, and they should. Absolutely. But we talked about the fact, too, and Travis came back with one of his homeboys that actually said it in a different way. But the fact that they take guys that are basically off the street and Brady turns them into players on that offense, no question about it. We give credit where credit is due. We're just talking about the one play, or as Travis said, the two plays, and one's on Pittsburgh, just flat out. That's all on them, that when you didn't score at the half-inch line between play calling, execution, however you want to lay it, that was a backbreaker.
When Gronkowski got hurt, I turned to my friend and I said, it doesn't even matter. The Patriots are going to go to the Super Bowl regardless of the fact that Gronkowski just went out. Somebody from the NFC is going to give us a dogfight in the Super Bowl, but, I mean, Brady and the Patriots were on a mission to stick it in Goodell's face. Goodell honestly is a big giant wuss bag for not going up to New England and not facing the music before this week. Now he's got to face the music for 2 weeks straight, and he's going to hear it, man. Patriot fans in Houston that are going to be there, whenever they see him, are going to tear into him.
I
wish him the best of luck.
Dude, you're not a vegetarian, right?
Go first. His seventh Super Bowl appearance. Unprecedented, honestly.
But you're not a vegetarian, right?
Hell no.
No, but do you like apples?
How do you like them apples?
There you go. That's all you had to say, man. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. All right, so we know that we're going to get fan bases coming in and invading, and some people that are already here. And look, everybody's got a take. You just got to make sure that you realize that in Houston, Texas, that people see it a little differently than if you are a born and raised Patriots fan. And sometimes you got to call what you see, and that's what we do here.
And my thing is, ain't nobody downplaying.
No.
And tell you the truth, that was the first thing we said weeks ago when the season started.
Right when the season started, he sat out four games.
When he sat out the four games, and me and you sat here and said, if they can go, because remember, everybody said, go 2-2. And them guys went, 3-0,
4-1?
Yeah, they went 3-1. And all of a sudden, we're looking like, the fact that they went 3-1.
He's coming in with the red ass.
With a third string quarterback. Of course, these guys right now are Super Bowl favorites out of AFC. So I don't know what that guy was talking about, man.
Well, I mean, I understand. The pandemonium is real, and so we knew where he came from, so we get that. That's fine. Trey Cello says, run this Pat's Yankee. Tell him to call back and make excuses after Super Bowl 51.
I'm telling you right now, I got Atlanta.
Do you?
Yes, sir.
The early prognosticators have spoken. I just say, look, one thing you have to factor in that I think – people really have to factor in, which is you give Bill Belichick the game plan for 2 weeks against anybody, that's an advantage. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not going to give you my pick yet. I'm just saying
it's an advantage. But,
right.
I mean, unlike the Pizza Hut commercial that Butler and Antonio Brown
did, yeah.
They still think they filmed him because he was all over him in that game.
He did a
too.
Hell of a job. And again, another situation where, like Mikhail said and other people have said, if you're going to do what you do to bring light to yourself the week before, you got to bring it come Sunday.
I don't think it had nothing to do with that. He played a damn good game, but they also had a great game plan. They boxed and warned him the entire game. They never left him by himself. They never allowed him because they knew good and well if he got by himself, he was going to tear somebody's ass up. And I'm telling you right now, that had nothing to do with anything. All it, you know what happened is there hit the defense coordinator Matt Patricia had a better thing than what's your boy's name?
Used to be, game plan.
Used to be the head coach in Arizona.
Todd Haley.
Then Todd Haley. That's all it was. Is the fact that they didn't have an answer to when Julio was boxing one double team, played inside, all of the stuff that they did it to a T. Now you tell me next year, if this matchup happens next year, when they get back, old boy, that's suspended for the year. What's the receiver name, Nick?
Yeah, I know you're talking about, but I can't.
They get him back, then they got a real problem because now they got true threats
across the board.
Now you can't do what you just did. But that he did had nothing to do with. I don't want people to talk. Oh man, if he wouldn't have did this, that had nothing to do with it. Nothing at all.
There you have it. Words from Travis Johnson. We got plenty more to get to. We got a board filling up with people that want to talk. Adam, Ken, and of course the illustrious Kurt Lowe. All on hold. We know exactly. Kurt Lowe wants to talk about the Patriots. So we'll get to calls and a whole lot more. One in the books, two to go. We are still rolling on a pretty damn good show. Please join us, won't you? 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5. Tonight's gonna be a good night.
ESPN 97.5.